It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. Another day, another dollar here at Racing Boys HQ. We welcome everybody that's watching the show right now. We've got Austin O'Neill, producer extraordinaire, helping us out here. He's got a smile on his face today. Not a lot of people with the Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour have a big smile on their face today, but Austin, because he doesn't have a motor prepared to go this weekend. I know you wanted to race at Salina and US 36, but unfortunately your motor's not ready, so you were happy to see this rain out today for the national tour.
I hate to see it for everybody else, but I'm selfish, and I don't care if you're not racing. You can go race somewhere else. It's
right.
This is my opportunity to go race, and we'll try again next week at the lake for two nights.
Yeah. Well, it unfortunately, so that will be next weekend, right, when you go down there?
That is the 29th and 30th of April.
Now, when they run down there next weekend, they're going to run 410s, 360s, and non-wing cars. Is that correct?
I believe so.
I think that's the schedule, and I hope to go down there myself.
That it is a Warrior and Sooner region co-sanctioned event.
You know, I'll say this. I think that's a little far for the Sooner guys to
pull.
It
is. You only see three guys. I think last year only three to five guys showed up. Only Sean McClellan, Jeremy Campbell, Kyle, what's his name? Kyle, the $9. Who's that? What's his name? I'm trying to think what his name is.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
And a couple other.
Right. Only the guys running for points.
Yes.
Basically.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's a little far for those guys to come as well. Marie said Sharon Speedway canceled. Too wet track and grounds. Kind of the same thing here. You know what's so funny? They called the race today at Salina. Have you looked at the weather out at Salina? What is it supposed to be? Can you look that up real quick? And, you know, US 36 is about 45 minutes from our studio right here. They're talking about rain.
They have a better shot at racing at Salina than they do US 36.
Well, you know, I was talking to Tommy Hahn here a little while ago, and he was a little surprised that they canceled Salina.
Yeah, so today is a high of 75 and a 50% chance of rain. Tomorrow is a high of 87, breezy.
And no chance?
No chance of rain.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Do you think all right, here's the conspiracy theory right now. Here, we're going to throw it out there.
Oh, they said they were worried. Let's look at the wind. Because the winds might, they do have an issue with the wind.
Do you think that this could have anything to do with tires?
I think the tires have a factor in it, but
Kyle Clark is our guy in the $9
car.
Yeah.
I should have known that.
I knew it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm old.
I was going to say Kyle Dollar because his number is $9, but that's, I know that's not
right.
I'm going
to tell you why I couldn't remember, Austin, just so you know. In my early years, I was kind of a roughneck. Took a couple punches along the way. And I hit a lot of walls in my day. I know of at least 7 concussions that I've had. Have you ever had a concussion?
Oh, they're supposed to have 32 mile-an-hour winds tomorrow at Salina.
So maybe the wind is a problem.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was going to be that bad. So, yeah, that makes sense why they canceled it.
Yeah.
No rain.
Well, Caleb, he chimes in here. He says, I'm sure the tire shortage is making it easier to make an early weather cancellations. I'm kind of with him
a little
bit.
You're exactly right.
Yeah, I think that there's
that.
There has to be a little bit of that, right?
Prices of fuel as well.
Right.
I mean, there's 3 or 4 factors that go into.
Let me ask you this, Austin. You know, I've always said this about series. They need to call these races a little bit early so these guys don't have to pull too far and burn up the fuel. And maybe between the price of fuel and the weather and the tires, they just decided, you know what, let's just call it a weekend and let's wait until we can get some tires. You think there's any of that involved?
I think there's, like I said earlier, there's a lot of different factors that go into it. Yeah. And, you know, if there's a chance of either high wind or rain, and, you know, you just, you can't take the chance that you did 2-3 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, like you said, tires are an issue. Like, I'm still waiting on, you know, mediums, which they need to open the tire rule up and let us run whatever right. we can find. And then, you know, fuel. I mean, it's $4.69 a gallon for diesel in Kearney. You know, that's,
was it that much?
It was. It went up a little bit. Go off the highway.
You weren't going to have to go far to go to US 36, though.
No, at 40, that, I think it's a 100-mile round trip.
Would you have went to Salina? Probably not. Fuel.
If I wasn't racing on Friday night, yes, I would have went to Salina.
Yeah.
But
you're running the modified on Friday. So Bridgeport last night, what a race, man. Brent Marks looks like he was on his way to victory, and on the very last lap, his rear end breaks on him. The bearing in the rear end, you told me, went out of it, right? And the gear popped out, and it cost him the win last night. And he led almost every lap of that. He led every lap. Yeah. And Anthony Macri ended up picking up the win there at Bridgeport last night. What'd you think of that?
You know, that was a
pretty disappointing.
I know. It's nothing's worse than leading. I think it was probably a 30-lap race all the way until the backstretch, and you just lose all drive, and your hopes of picking up $7,500. You know, that's a good payday. Just vanishes in you know, split second.
Like.
But it almost
on
left,
the last lap.
It almost slipped out of Macri's hands too. Once the highlights, we get through the wonderful Flow Racing ads.
Well, when Brent Marks spun, when his motor quit, I mean when his rear end broke,
lost drive.
The 39 car Macri, he come up on him and he spun out, right?
Yeah.
And the yellow come out, and that let him get back into the lead.
Yeah. Also, he just kept it going. You know, if he would have stopped it, because he didn't know that.
He's really lucky he didn't hurt his car right there.
Well, he didn't know that why Brent Marks had checked up.
Right.
He just assumed that the race was over, and
he did say that.
He did say that in his interview.
Yeah.
So I mean, you know, you could have seen Kyle Reinhart, who finished, you know, or who was running third at that time, win the race.
Yeah. Well, we hate it. You know, Brent, he's been a guest on this show, and we hate it to see one of those guys. Anthony Macri has been on with Kirk and I before in the past, so. You know, we need to get more press releases from the tracks in PA, right? They don't send them to Racing Boys, and we need to get those sent to us. So if anybody knows anybody of those press release people out there in PA, have them send it to racingboys@racingboys.com. All you got to do is repeat it, racingboys@racingboys.com. You know, we've got a big group of people that support us out there in PA, and we want to be able to make sure that we service you guys and talk about what's going on out there. And if anybody knows any of the publicists out there, let them know, racingboys@racingboys.com, all right? We need to get those press releases because we're pretty big fans of the people out there. Anthony Macri is a driver to keep his eye on, first in the country to have 5-4-10 wins in 2022. Thanks, Tammy, for that little nugget of information. I did not know that. How about that?
You know, it's crazy to think. Normally, Donnie or Brad has, you know, every bit of five now, kind of like what Anthony has, about five wins, and they both have one.
Yeah.
You know, you don't. That's something you don't see all the time.
See, Caleb just said, it just finished listening to Justin Fielder's podcast, Dirt Track. I don't know, Dirt Track, and he was expressing frustration over no ticker on that Bridgeport race. Thought, you know what, I'm not going to worry about the ticker. I just want to see the action, right?
Well, I noticed that in the highlights that there wasn't one there. Look, it's just, here's the highlights right here. There's no ticker. And, I mean, that it sucks because, you know, let's say you're a Justin Peck fan and he's running third and you don't know where he's actually at. You don't know where Justin Peck's running on the track. You know, if you didn't know either My Race Pass Live or, you know, any other source of information, you know, and it's just, it's nice to have, you know. I wish it was on there. I don't understand why
pronounced
you wouldn't have
Dirt
it.
Tracker. Okay, thank you, Caleb. Listen, here's the thing. As somebody that's traveled up and down the road doing a lot of these pay-per-view broadcasts, you know, sometimes the scoring loop doesn't work. And if that scoring loop doesn't work, you're not going to get a ticker.
Right.
Right? So if they have a problem with their cabling or whatever, their transponders, they might not run the ticker. So you got to give them a little bit of a break. And to be honest with you, me personally, I'm not a person that needs that ticker to enjoy watching a race. What I prefer more than anything when I watch a sprint car race is a good cameraman.
Good cameraman, a good announcer, and the ticker is just a little tool you can have in your back pocket.
You know what you want? You want a cameraman that can follow the announcer.
Yes.
And I'll say this about Jeff Christensen. He traveled with me for 7 years. You know, after you tour with a series announcer for long enough, you know his tendencies and what they're going to do and where they're going to go and where they go back and forth to. And Jeff was the best at following Brian Hulbert when it came to the Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour. He was exceptional at doing that. And, you know, I don't know if there was any loop issues there at Bridgeport last night. I don't know. That could be a problem. I don't know. Maybe it was.
Well, you know what? There might be a problem because Kirk was looking at the I think it was the race monitor results.
Yeah.
And they had first and last switch. They had Christopher Bell winning, Anthony Macri last.
Well,
and Bell should have been fourth.
I think there was 2:39s and they got confused. They had Christopher Bell running first and fourth.
Oh, I didn't see he was in fourth as well.
They had him in two different spots there. So I think they just had the and that's on sprint car ratings, right? Isn't that where we found that at?
Kirk found that.
Yeah, that was on sprint car ratings. And you go to the results there, and you will find that they've got the 39 car and the 39 car first and fourth. So, I don't know. I hate it, though. I hate it that somebody's got to lose on the last lap when they're leading a race. I hate that. There's so many things that could go wrong with the scoring loop or what have you. I've had so many issues over the years with scoring loops that I can't even begin to tell you.
Oh, we have too.
Yeah. Many a times. Many, many times have we had an issue.
That's like when our family owned a touring karting series that ran across the nation. We always had, you know, electronic scoring with transponders, and never failed a someone would cut the line or line would go out, and you're out there for, I don't know, an hour or two with the concrete saw cutting the line back out of the track and, you know, holding the whole program up. But, you know, we have plenty of experience with line issues.
Pete just chimed in. He said there was 3:39s, Macri, Bell, and Chase Dietz.
Jeez.
That would make it easy to screw up, wouldn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, no doubt. Thank you, Pete. Appreciate that. You guys are always welcome to chime in and just throw in little nuggets. The phone lines are always open here at Racing Boys if you ever want to call in. 816-833-8553. Anytime you want to call in, you're welcome to do so. We love people when they call the show. So.
And tomorrow is Friday.
It's Phone Friday tomorrow. Are you looking forward to that, bud?
Yeah.
That's one of our better days.
It is.
And it
makes my day a lot easier.
Right.
I can just take a step back. Like, you and Kirk run the show.
No.
Not I say run the show, but you and Kirk just do your thing.
The three of us are part of the
show.
We
are.
Yeah, right?
We are, but...
You're going to be like the new Kirk Elliott. You know that, right?
I've heard you say that.
Because when Kirk leaves in September, you're the guy. What are you going to do when... Gosh, I just hope you don't go to Ohio next year. I'm keeping my fingers crossed on that.
Well, it's not looking like it's a possibility right now. So,
well, I just hope it doesn't happen. What was that school you want to go to over there?
University of Northwestern Ohio.
Now, what did they do at that school special?
It's a racing school.
And what do they do there that's special in racing?
Just it's a college for like motorsports. So I can go. I was going to go for high performance technology and learn about just all things chassis, rear ends, engines, transmissions.
You don't
just
need
about
to
anything.
Listen, you don't need to learn about that. You know what you need to learn? You need to learn about media broadcasting.
That was before I had this gig.
Right. You need to get into a school to where you can learn about what's going on with the media. and how to present. You've already got it down. You know how to run the equipment.
Right.
We just need to get you a little schooled up on some other things. And I'll even chip in a little bit if I have to.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, you know, when it comes to like little classes that you can learn online or something about doing what you do in our field of business.
Right. Yeah. You never know.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens when the time comes. We're still racing right now. That's the priority.
Yeah, that's the number one priority. This weekend, man, I can't wait to watch the All-Stars this weekend. Are you excited about that?
We got three good nights with them.
Man, it's going to be really good. Bloomsburg, Williams Grove, Port Royal. Man, does it get any better than that, those three racetracks?
Well, I love Port Royal. That's one of my favorite racetracks to watch a race at. So I'll definitely tune in to catch a Port Royal race wherever I can.
Hey, did you see where BAPS, where they're not going to let people film anymore?
Yeah, I sent that to you last night.
You sent that to me, didn't you?
Yeah, that's... So when the Outlaws or Flow Racing comes in there, they're not going to allow them to do their service.
No video recording allowed. Facebook Live or live streaming of race events are prohibited and will be escorted out of the facility. That's what their sign says.
Well, that's just ridiculous. I think they're shooting themselves in the foot when they do that.
Well, I don't know. You know, you've got to think about that a little bit, right? Listen, you know, what I've told people for years is that when you do a video broadcast of a race at a racetrack, some of the racetracks are scared of it because they think people are going to stay home and watch the race at home.
Right.
That's not the case. A real race fan goes to the races.
Right.
They don't stay home to watch a race.
Right.
It's like me. If the World of Outlaws are up the road, I'm going to go up there and see them, right? I'm not going to stay home and watch them. I'm going to go watch them in person. And I think there's a big concern by the promoters. You know what the promoters need to do? The promoters need to look at it as, this is a way to promote my facility and get exposure and let people see what we've got going on at this racetrack.
That's all it is. Video broadcast is just a marketing tool.
Right.
Because I watched every race at Houston Speedway last year, and I knew what was going on in Houston before then, but I watched every race there last year, and I know I'm going to make a trip up there this year to go watch a race live. It's a marketing tool you can use to promote your track, promote the sponsors of your track, promote your drivers, mm-hmm. and bring more attention to your facility and, you know, just blow it up.
Yeah.
You know, they're just totally missing out on the process of it and what the real meaning of video broadcasting is.
Right, right. Marie, our favorite listener, she said that you need to go to communication classes. You communicate pretty good, though.
I'm not too bad.
You do pretty good. You got a pretty good voice, too. You're not all squeaky.
No.
You know? Frog says that Austin needs to eat a hamburger and bulk up.
I had a hot dog for lunch.
You are so skinny, dude. You walked in here a while ago and walked in that door, and you had your shorts on because it's warm.
It is nice.
Here in Kansas City today. His legs are as skinny as a toothpick.
Yeah.
You got the skinniest legs I've ever seen. How tall are you?
6'2", 6'1".
And you got the skinniest legs I've ever seen.
With a messed up back. Maybe taller. You never know.
You'll be all right. Your back's going to be just fine.
No, it's fine, but I'm just saying I could be taller. You never know.
Now, people are going to ask, what's wrong with your back? So now you got to explain
I don't care.
All right, go ahead and explain it.
I have two types of scoliosis. I got scoliosis, which is the curvature of your spine, like, you know, up and down. And then I got it, it's called kyphosis. So if you ever look at me, like, sideways, like, my head's, like, shoved forward a little bit. Well, that's the bowing of my, like, my upper back.
Right.
So my shoulders are rounded forward, and I kind of fit a seat really good. My shoulders are already curved in.
Because you're you're nosed up a little bit, right?
Yeah, I fit seats pretty well. So racing is a good fit for me, but I got to have a bunch of pad behind my head.
Does it hurt you?
No, not really. It's just I look weird. That's it.
No, you don't look weird. Let me ask you. You had to wear a back brace for a while, too, didn't you? How long?
Four years. 15 hours a day.
15 hours a day.
Yep.
Boy, that sucked.
It did.
Yeah. Darn it. Man, I hate that for you. But you know what? If you're leaning forward in your seat, that's a good thing, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Right?
I still can race, so I can't complain. But
yeah, it's all good.
Learn something new every day, right?
Huh. Caleb says, I think they need to clarify that it can't mean flow or dirt vision. I'm assuming that means that Jay Blow's racing page can't broadcast. I don't know what that means.
Joe Blow's, just whoever, some dude off the street. Like, if you walked up to the races and held your phone out there and Facebook liked it, that's what he's saying.
Oh, you mean, I got you, at BAPS, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, listen, that's going to be hard to police.
Yeah.
And when you start escorting people out of the facility because they got their phone up there doing that,
mm-hmm.
You know, I used to have a problem with people that would use their phone and do this, you know, and watch the race, but I got over it. You know why? Because most of those people are filming an individual car for a family member back home.
Right.
They're not really filming the race.
No, and they're not making a profit off of it either.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, Oskaloosa was like that for a while with the Front Row Challenge. Remember, because Terry now just allowed him to do the flow stream. Was it just last year or was it the year before that he allowed him to stream that race?
Kirk, when we did the broadcast up at Oskaloosa, did we have to push that to flow that one year?
No.
No, we didn't, did we?
No.
It was just our race.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just our race.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, we got a good show lined up for you. Here in just a moment, Philip Dietz, the owner of JJR, is going to join us on the show. I've known Philip for a long time. Watched Jason pick up four of his Lucas Oil ASCS National Tour National Championships when I was out on the road. I'm looking forward to talking to Philip. Man, he is one of the great guys in motorsports. He's a really good guy, and I'm so happy for him that he's ended up being the owner of JJR. He's going to join us next here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products that works. Philip Dietz joins us next right here on Mostly Motorsports.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. the Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. And joining us now on the show, Philip Dietz joins us. Philip, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks. Yourself?
Oh, you know, I'm living the dream. I think I picked a good time to get off of the road, right? The price of fuel, the price of motel rooms, the price of cameraman, they're all going through the roof. And, you know, I think I picked a good time to start this podcast. So I'm thankful that you've decided to come on the show with us today. Thanks so much for doing it.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Man, before we get into everything that's going on with you right now, I got to step back a little bit, back in time, because, you know, I traveled up and down the road with you guys for a long time, with you and Jason, and watched you win four of those national championships. I want to step back in time just a little bit and talk about your time with Jason and all the great success and the championships that you won. And just talk about those times a little bit back in the day with the ASCS National Tour.
Yeah, absolutely. Those were some great years, you know, and I think it really all started back in 2001 was really the first year. Actually, 2000. 2000, I helped him that summer just for a handful of races, but it wasn't until 2001 that I really was able to spend some time with him on the road, obviously during the summer because I was still in school.
Yeah.
But we traveled, I think that year he was running ASCS, but then also kind of picking choosing a lot of other races, and you know, easily had 100 race schedule that year. And the summer was very busy for us, but you know, it was a different time, a lot of fun back then, maybe a little bit different than it is today. You know, obviously we've kind of grown our team even bigger, and you know, had some success along the way, but yeah, those are definitely some fun years, and you know, ones that I really cherish. And you know, to look back and see how long it's been, how long I've been doing this, you know, is pretty cool too. And to see, you know, not only I think it was 2010, I actually parted ways with Jason and had a job offer with KKR and spent 2 years with them. And then, you know, had the opportunity to come back and work with Jason again in 2012. And like you said, we had a lot of success those years. And yeah, I really enjoyed every minute of it with him.
When you went to KKR and then you had the opportunity to go back to Jason, let's talk about that just a little bit. You leave, Did he call you and ask you to come back, or did you call him and say, hey, listen, I'd like to come back and join the team?
You know, it was kind of a little of both. So he was in search for another mechanic. I had actually parted ways with KKR towards the end of 2011, I believe. And Jason was actually looking for an extra hand to help out. I think, if I remember correctly, we had a race in Las Cruces. And then I think the final race was in Tucson that year. And he was wanting an extra hand to help out on the car. And then I think what he really was after was somebody to drive his motorhome back to Missouri. because from there, he and Bobby flew straight to Australia.
Oh.
Where they spent, I think at that time, they were out there for 3 months at a time. So, you know, whenever that all came about, you know, he had called me asking if, you know, if there was interest in me even helping at the end of the year, which, you know, at that time I really didn't have much going on, and I knew I could kind of help him out. So I agreed to do it. And then when I got out there, we actually had some pretty good runs, especially the final night at Tucson. And we sat down after that, and he presented me with a job opportunity. And during that time, that's when the whole Roush Yates deal came about. And I felt like it could really grow into something big. So we were able to talk it over, put a deal together, and I was back full time again in 2012.
Yeah. I got to talk about that last championship. That was that last championship that you guys won. That was a little bit of a struggle, right? There wasn't a lot of wins that year. If I'm not mistaken, and I'm trying to think clearly now, and I'm not sure if I'm right on this, maybe you'll correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like the first race you won was one of the last races of the year. I think it was out in Yuma before you won a race, and then you ended up winning the championship that night. Talk about that last year of that championship that you won.
Well, that's actually a year that I try to forget, just because it was a year that we definitely struggled that year. And it's hard to say, you know, I mean, there was a lot going on that year outside of racing that might have contributed to, you know, some of it. But, yeah, for some reason, there were a lot of changes, not only personnel, but, you know, a lot of things that we had done differently that year, and thinking that it was going to be for the better. But unfortunately, I felt like it might have hindered our performance that year. And, by the end of the season, I felt like we were finally starting to figure things out and get our car a little bit better and get him more comfortable. And I think that showed there, you know, obviously in Yuma. But yeah, it was a tough year. And I think, you know, what ultimately won him the championship was just consistency. You know, we may not have had many wins that year, but he was always, you know, in the top five, or at least close to the top five. And, you know, to win championships, that's what it takes. You know, you don't always have to win every race, but as long as you're consistent and you're in the hunt each and every night, you definitely have a better shot at the end of the year.
Yeah. You know, let me ask you, after Jason's passing, you go back and you think about some of the things that he taught you along the way. Is there one thing that stands out that Jason taught you that maybe that you make sure you lean on memory wise as far as running the team now?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things he's taught me, but I'd say probably the biggest thing is just surrounding yourself with good people.
Right.
You know, we obviously have not only great mechanics, we have a great driver this year with Carson Macedo, but we also have a huge list of great sponsors who make this possible for Jason Johnson Racing. And, you know, that's one thing that I remember he really cherished a lot was, you know, having a good relationship with each and every one of our sponsors and, you know, building that relationship so that it would continue on for many years. And so I'd say, you know, by far, that's probably the most important thing that he taught me. Obviously, you know, the presentation of the team, trying to run it as professionally as you can. And another important factor is performance, you know, making sure that we have the best of everything or what we feel is the best of everything to go out and be competitive each and every night. And, you know, we've worked very hard to not only get our team to where it is today, but continue to make improvements each and every day to get even better.
Yeah. Well, the thing that I remember about Jason more than anything, he was a motivator wasn't he? He knew how to motivate people.
That he did, yeah. And he actually, for a long time, he would send out a quote of the day each and every morning.
Right.
To not only myself and the guys on the team, but he would also send to a lot of sponsors and family and, you know, a whole list of people. And after his accident, I knew that was very important to him at the time. So after his accident, I took on that role, and I think I did it for about a year.
Yep.
And then it just became tough to find a quote, you know, each and every morning. So
right.
One of our longtime sponsors, the Sache family, their son actually took it on, and I still get a quote every morning from him, and a lot of times it's used on our social media pages as well. So,
yeah,
he was definitely a huge motivator, not only for myself but a lot of others. I know for me personally, you know, he supported me everything in life, whether it was, you know, something personal, buying a condo or a home, or, you know, even in racing. You know, there were many nights. I actually got into micro racing back in, I think it was 2007.
I remember that. Yeah.
And 2016 maybe. But he, even though we spent a lot of time on the road, the few times we did get back, he would help me after hours to finish my micro. And we were able to run a lot of races, or I wouldn't say a lot, but a few races together. And he would serve as the crew chief. I would be the driver. We'd switch roles for a night and go out and it was a lot of fun. Like we each learned a lot from each other. But it was real cool to, you know, looking back, those years that were spent with him is pretty special to me today.
Yeah. I got to talk about 2016 when he won the Nationals for the first time with Jason. I don't know if anybody, the crowd was so excited. You could feel the energy in Knoxville that night. I want to know what your feelings were when Jason wins that first Knoxville Nationals for you guys as a team.
Yeah, that was huge. Obviously the highlight of his career. And we knew that we had a fast race car. We had a lot of confidence going in the final night. And I felt like he was about as motivated as ever. Spent a lot of time watching videos and just studying where he felt he needed to be on the track. That night, and we knew that the competition was going to be tough. Obviously, you know, Donnie's had a lot of good runs there, and we knew that he was going to be one of the main guys to beat that night. But we went in there with a lot of confidence, especially him. And, you know, I felt like we were pretty decent the first half of the race, but under that caution, we made some adjustments, and I could tell just talking to him those few minutes that he was going to do anything it took to win that race. And,
yeah,
you know, obviously he gave it 100%. And I think that's what really excited the crowd that night, not only to have somebody else other than Donnie win the race, but to see the battle that they put on and to see the determination that Jason had to go out and win was really, really cool to see. And I think it'll definitely, you know, go down as one of the best races or one of the best Knoxville Nationals races ever.
I have to agree with you there. So after Jason's passing, you and Bobby decide to keep the team going. Talk about that moment after Jason's passing, and that, man, how difficult of a decision was it for you guys to keep the team rolling?
It was really tough. You know, we were all really lost and not really sure what to do for a long time. You know, it was, you know, Jason Johnson Racing. It was all about Jason and his performance, and he's the boss. He kind of ran the show, and to lose your leader like that was really tough, and, you know, a lot of confusion. And we kind of just assumed that things would come to an end. We would put everything for sale and kind of move on with our lives and find something different. But as time went on, we sat down with a lot of our sponsors, and, you know, they were all behind us and supportive to see the team continue on, mainly in, you know, in honor of Jason. And so it was really tough at first, very different, you know, to walk in the shop and not have him there. But
to
continue on and go to the racetrack and do the very best you could to go out and, you know, give it your best effort to win.
Yeah. I know that you and Bobby were meshed together, but eventually you came down to where you were going to take over the team. Talk about that transition there a little bit.
Well, we knew, you know, at the end of 18, we had all decided as a team, me and Bobby, all of our sponsors, that we definitely wanted to give it a go in 2019 and kind of take things from there. And that's kind of how we had done things before, even when Jason was here. You know, you just never know what can happen in racing. You know, things change, so you have to – you can't make a – it's hard to make a long-term goal. I mean, you can, but you have to be realistic and know that things can change. So we were confident that we could go out, run a full season in 19, but then after that, you know, kind of reconsider things. And if everything was still going well, we would continue on. But towards the end of 19, obviously, we all had a lot of changes in our lives. I got married. You know, Bobby Jax became very involved in school and in sports, and it got to where it was really tough for her to travel to these races again. And I could kind of see, you know, and obviously with Jason being gone, things are different. You know, I think
tough.
No matter what, blood, you know, racing will always be in her blood. But it's just different not having him here. And I could kind of see that, especially towards the end of 19. But we continued on. We ran another year in 2020. Obviously, everything that took place with COVID and everything that year kind of really changed or mixed things up a bit. But then by the end of that year, I could really tell, you know, that things were becoming tough for her and that she wanted to scale back from it. I think she still really involved or really enjoys being involved on the merchandise side of things and keeping those connections with friends and fans. And, you know, thankfully we were able to put something together. To be honest, like in 2020, I had an opportunity to run a second car with Parker Price Miller. And the name of the team was Dietz Motorsports. And I know at the time there was a lot of confusion about what was going on with that. But the bottom line, like we really just didn't know the future of Jason Johnson Racing. And, you know, there were times where I thought, maybe Bobby just wanted to sell everything completely and be completely done with it. But we sat down at the end of 2020. We were all in agreement that we would like to see the team continue. She did want to take a step back, though, as owner, and offered the opportunity for me to kind of take over and keep it going. And then, obviously, everyone agreed that we wanted to keep the name of the team the same, Jason Johnson Racing, in honor of Jason, and try to continue his legacy. And, you know, things, I don't think they could have worked out any better than they have. You know, not only did we obtain great guys, great crew members, great drivers, but we've also have a list again of great sponsors who have not only supported this team, over the last couple of years, but some of them have been on for multiple years. So, it's been, so far it's been a very smooth transition, and I feel like, all of us are happy with how things have played out.
Philip, I hate to keep you so long, but I got to ask you, how difficult is it? I think we all look at these World of Outlaw teams and we think, oh, man, they've got all this cash flow and everything. But how difficult is it to own and manage a top flight World of Outlaws team? How difficult is that task?
It is challenging. You know, obviously, it was very different for me last year because it was kind of my first time to not only do the crew chief side, you have all those roles, but then to also take on the management side of things and make sure that, you know, all the bills were paid and the guys were getting paid. And, you know, I have to thank my wife, Brooke Dietz. She's definitely stepped up and helped me a lot in the whole process, which has made my life a lot easier, but definitely different. You know, I think I try to take care of all the business side during the week, all the emails and relationships, and then come race day, I just kind of put on my old crew chief hat again and focus just on going out and doing the best I can to give Carson a great car to go out and be competitive. But it's been challenging. But then again, I love taking on new challenges, and so far I've had a great time with this new opportunity.
It seems like you and Carson Macedo have a great relationship, good chemistry, and it takes that to be successful at that level, right?
It does, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you know, there's more to just having a good car. Like, it takes you know, someone that you can relate to and communicate well with, and I think that Carson and I have that. You know, he does a great job behind the wheel. He definitely gives 100%, and you know, I've been, I think it's kind of in my blood. I'm a very competitive person myself, so you know, I do everything I can to give him the best car possible as well. So definitely a great guy. We actually have a really good friendship outside of racing, hang out quite a bit. He does spend a lot of time here in Missouri in between races, so we get to hang out, go play some golf on off days every once in a while, and he's been a super great fit for our team.
How good a golf player is he? Is he good?
He's actually not bad. I'm terrible, but he actually does a pretty good job.
Yeah. Last weekend, picked up the win down there at Peevely. Man, that was a challenging conditions down there, to say the least, wasn't it?
It was, yeah, very stressful conditions. But, you know, Mother Nature's been pretty tough on us lately, and it was no different in that situation. I think it sounds like they had gotten a lot of rain that week. And, you know, we didn't have favorable track conditions, but unfortunately that's
it's just part of
the name of the game sometimes. And, you know, we're all racing on the same track, so you have to make the very best of it. And thankfully for us, I felt like we had some lucky breaks that night. We qualified decent, but we won a heat race, managed to draw the pole position for the dash, which put us kind of in the hunt, or at least made our chances better. And then there at the start of the race, things kind of got hairy, and on that first restart, actually he was still in the lead. So
yep.
I think being up front on a heavy racetrack, or excuse me, on a rough racetrack, definitely makes it a little bit easier for the driver to kind of maintain and hold his position. But I also feel like, you know, we felt like we made some really good calls throughout the night to make him more comfortable and give him a car that could be competitive. So thankfully everything played out. I feel like
it worked out okay.
We're all very happy with our result.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it was pretty close. McFadden right there. You guys nearly got into him while you were leading the race. And then I think Joe B. Miller's left rear tire come off when you guys were right behind him. Those are a couple lucky breaks along the way.
Yeah. It was a definitely exciting feature. A lot of cautions. I knew we were kind of getting close on fuel, and that kind of made it even more stressful. But as a fan, I think it was pretty wild to see. But as a you know, crew chief car owner, kind of tough. And I know as a driver, I'm sure it was quite a handful for him as well. But
right,
still a good race overall.
Yeah, you guys are currently second in the World of Outlaw points. You're 48 points behind Brad Sweet. How do you feel your chances are to win the championship this year?
I feel confident that we have a great team, and there's no reason why we can't go out and be in contention to win each and every night. You know, I think we have all the right tools and the right people that back us up. But at the end of the day, I think, you know, like I said, even with Peevely, I think sometimes it takes a little bit of luck to kind of put yourself in position. Don't get me wrong. It's very important to work hard to get you to that point. But I feel confident. You know, we don't really look at the whole championship points, especially this early in the season. We just focus on going out and being competitive each night. And, you know, if we feel like our car is off, you know, he does a good job of just accepting that fact, finishing whatever, you know, if he has an eighth place car, finishes eighth, kind of moves on to the next race and just stay consistent. And I think if we can continue down that path, you know, I think I firmly believe we'll have a shot come the end of the season.
I totally believe that Jason taught you that consistency wins championships, right? You can win as many races as you want, but if you're not consistent, you're not going to be in contention for the championship at the end of the year.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's just too costly, you know, even besides a crash, if you have a mechanical failure or something go wrong, a flat tire there towards the end of the race or something that could cause you to finish outside the top 15. I mean, it's really costly. Whenever all the other guys or, you know, your top five guys just seem to be really consistent. So, yeah, like I said, I mean, obviously we want to win every race. That's the
goal.
That would be the ultimate thing. But, you know, if we can't win them, at least try and be in contention and salvage a top five out of it.
Well, Philip, I am so happy for you that you're in the situation that you're in right now. You've got three wins this year. You got to be happy with that so far into the season. Congratulations on all the success that you've had as now a team owner. Good luck for you the rest of the way. We're going to be following you. We're going to be rooting for Carson Macedo because, well, let's face it, you're a Show Me State team, and we're going to root for you because you are. Thanks so much for taking the time to join us here on the show. We sure appreciate it, Philip.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right. There you have it. Philip Dietsch joining us here on the show. He is the owner of JJR and a good guy, man. I can't thank enough of that guy. You know, I talked to him quite a bit when we were out on the road with the Lucas Oil ASCS National Tour. Class act, top notch, as good as they get when it comes to a crew chief. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, more of Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sports, we're in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
39 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. Again, it's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. I want to thank Philip Dietz for coming on. Man, there was a lot in that interview right there, folks. I hope you enjoyed it because I really enjoyed talking to Philip Dietz. You know, I sit here and I think about back in the day. I've said this before. Jason wasn't my biggest fan. Because I always tried to create rivalries between him and somebody else. I did that all the time. And Jason didn't believe in rivalries. He told me, why do you do that? Why do you whip it like that? And I'll never forget the day he approached me on that. We were in Great Falls, Montana. And we were sitting on a wall on turn two at Electric City Speedway. And he come up and sit down next to me, and he goes, why do you, because at that time it was Shane Stewart and Jason Johnson. I was kind of whipping that a little bit, right? I was trying to create rivalries, and he didn't like it, and he made sure he told me about it. And, you know, I tried to explain to him that, you know, motorsports is all about rivalries, right? Steve Kinser, Sammy Swindell. I mean, go back and just look at the history of motorsports, all the people that were, you know, rivalries of each other. And I tried to explain that to him, but he wasn't taking it. He wasn't having it. He didn't like it. But, you know, Jason and I got along pretty well. And Scotty Cook was very good friends with Jason and Bobby. And, man, it's just a sad deal that we lost Jason the way that we did. Such a good guy, such a great race car driver. A huge loss to sprint car racing when the day that Jason Johnson passed. It was a big loss. What did you pick up out of that interview? Anything out of that, Austin?
Like you said, kind of a lot. You know, you kind of get to hear, you know,
what it takes.
You know, what it takes and, you know, kind of what they go through and, you know, the kind of the process that Philip and Bobby went through after Jason's passing and then the formation or transformation from, you know, Bobby owning the team into what Phillip's doing now. And, yeah. You know, kind of what, he didn't talk about Dietz Motorsports a whole lot, but, you know, he was right about, you know, people didn't really know what was going on. They didn't know what
he
didn't either, you know.
And right.
Nobody really else did, and, you know, I'm glad it worked out, you know, the way it did.
Yeah. Well, it was definitely a big loss, and definitely a big loss when we lost, here Marie says Greg Hognett as well, when we lost him. That was a huge loss as well. All right, Austin, so this weekend, a no US 36, no Salina, no Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour. What are you going to do this weekend? What can you do? You're going to drive your modified. It's not your modified. You're driving for somebody, right?
I drive for somebody. I said once we bought a sprint car, we'll never own another fendered vehicle again.
Hold on, dude. Modifieds don't have fenders. I've told you this more than once.
They do.
They do
half
not
of
have.
Them, half of them do. Half the car is, half the car
Hold
isn't.
Hold on.
It's not open wheel.
Why isn't it not open wheel? The front tires are not covered by a fender.
The rear are. Open wheel car is open wheel. It's a sprint car is an open wheel car.
The front tires are open wheel.
Yeah, so, but you almost got fenders on them, so if the rear is out of it too, then yeah, sure, I'd call it an open wheel car.
You're going to race at Lakeside this weekend, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know where I'll do Saturday yet.
Yeah.
Maybe Port City for the T-Town Midget Showdown that Brady Baking's promoting. Two-day event.
What's going on there? Tell me that
It's just Brady Baking's hosting the T-Town Showdown. It's
at
a USAC Midget Race at Port City Raceway, Friday and Saturday.
Oh, that'd be a really good event. Yeah. You know, maybe we should get Brady on, talk about that. I know it's Phone Friday tomorrow. Maybe
on Tuesday or Monday.
Oh, yeah.
Recap it.
Well, I mean, we ought to try to help him promote the event.
Right.
Right. Caleb says he's headed to Wheatland. You might end up going down there with the modified eventually, right?
At some point.
Do you like racing at Wheatland?
It's always fun in the sprint car.
Yeah.
You know, usually Wheatland used to be. It's still the same way. You know, it's always really smooth and really slick. So I assumed when we went sprint car racing down there, it'd be the same way. Well, now we get about an 8-inch tall curb, and it's pretty tacked up half the night. I don't mind it that way. It's fun.
It's better than when we first went down there with the Lucas Oil ASCS National Tour, because the first two races that we had down there
took rubber.
Horrible rubber, like on the second lap.
Jeez.
It's not been like that since then.
No, I haven't seen that place take rubber in a long time, and I'd rather have an 8-inch tall curb than rubber.
Yeah.
Got something to lean on, at least.
Man, good luck to you this weekend. That'll be tomorrow night, right? You're going to run the modified? I'm going to come out and watch you at Lakeside.
That'll be good.
Kirk's probably going to stay at home and watch it on TV.
Is Kirk one of the people that has a race 30 minutes away but will watch it on TV?
I don't know.
Is he? He'll hear it in a second.
Kirk, are you the kind of guy that if there's a race 45 minutes away that you'll watch it on TV? If he can. But, you know, Kirk is so accustomed to sitting in this studio. Because for the last couple of years, when I was out on the road, Kirk sat right here in this studio and watched all the races.
He did.
Well, and that's true.
Right.
I got to take up for Kirk there a little bit.
I know. I'm just giving him a hard time.
He had to sit in here because he had to keep an eye on our live broadcast that we were doing.
I was just giving him a hard time.
Well, join the club. That's what we do around here.
Yeah. I know.
But we love Kirk Elliott. He's a brother, for sure. All right, thanks everybody for tuning into the broadcast today. We so much appreciate it. We're going to do it all over again tomorrow at 12 noon Central Time. We hope that you'll join in. Tomorrow is Phone Friday, and we like people to call in and interact with us on the show. Kirk will be sitting right here. We'll have Austin in here as well. We'd like for you to interact with us. So, and whatever it is, it doesn't matter what we're talking about. We can just talk about anything. It really doesn't matter what it is. It could be, you know, this is mostly motorsports. That means that we get off topic a little bit once in a while. And we hope that we can do that with you tomorrow here on Friday. It's Phone Friday. We hope that you'll join us. It all starts at 12 noon Central Time. And again, it's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. Again, thanks to Philip Dietz for joining us on the show today. We'll see you tomorrow here on Mostly Motorsports.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive.
It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.